Today's shiurim, the Daf Yomi, is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Dalit Omud Aleph. We're learning today Leilui Nishmas Ilsa Lauer, Chana Bas David, Avi Lauer's mother. All the Rishonim we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we discussed the concept of smuchim, psukim that are next to each other, are placed there for an intentional reason, and we can learn out certain dinim from the juxtaposition. Psukim, for example, we learned out yesterday that the pasuk tells us, Lo silbash shatnez, a person is not allowed to wear shatnez, semru pishin yaktiv, you can't wear wool and linen together. And then right next to that it said, by tzitzis gedilim tasa loch, you are allowed to wear tzitzis, however, al arba kanfus luscha asher techasaba, and that would include shatnez. So therefore, the juxtaposition, these two psukim, that teaches us this din of smuchim to teach us that the asay of wearing tzitzis knocks aside the lo sasay of lo silbash shatnez. So the Gemara continues and we pick up on the second line, daf dalit omud aleph, yomar Rabbi Elazar, smuchim in Torah minayin. Where do we see a daraisa din that we're allowed to learn out smuchim from one thing to the other? So this is based upon an asmachta from the pasuk in Tilum, where the pasuk in Tilum tells us, Smuchim in Ator Minayin, Shinemar Smuchim Lo Ad Liolom Asuyim De Emes V'Yosher. This Asmachta from the Pasuk in Tilum tells us that things are joined together. Smuchim Lo Ad Asuyim De Emes V'Yosher. They're joined together in truth and in Yashrus, in being straight and upright. So therefore, this teaches us this concept of Smuchim, an allusion to this, and Asmachta from this Pasuk in Tilum. In addition, these are Maraim, and they said it Mishum, as I've mentioned many times. They didn't hear it directly from Rolozo and Azariah. He lived a couple of generations before them, but they heard it through other Rabbanim, and that's why it says Mishum. So they heard it in the name of the Tana, Rolozo and Azariah. Minayin liyivama shenofla lefnei mukach shchin she'ein chos min osa. How do we know that if a Yevama, unfortunately, the woman falls to her dead husband's brother, and that person has shchin, he has a terrible skin problem, he has a malady of the skin that has boils, it's very disgusting for her, and she doesn't want to be married to him. So how do we know? She'ein chos min osa, we don't silence her. The pasuk lo sachsom shor b'disho teaches us that we are not allowed to go muzzle an ox. So too, how do we know this lashon she'ein chos min osa, we don't silence her, we don't muzzle her, and tell her, no, she has to do yibum with this person who she finds not pleasant for her because of his skin condition, these boils that he has. So that's based upon the juxtaposition of these two psukim. Shenemar lo sachsom shor b'disho, and then right after that, it tells us usamitle. It says ki yeshru achim yachdav. Right afterwards, in the next pasuk, it says that if two brothers shall be alive at the same time, then there is this din of yibam. If one of them, Nebuch, passes away without children, so the other brother or brothers have an obligation for one of them to do yibam or chalitza. So the juxtaposition of these two psukim, the smuchin concept of yiv, said on Nimr, Lozo Messiah, is to teach us that under certain situations, we don't make the woman undergo yibum. Technically, yibum can be done bal korcha. We have a process called maima, which we try to make this as similar to a real kiddushin as possible. It's just pasnish, just to go and grab a woman and to make her your wife in that fashion. So we have maima, which is a rabbinical concept of kiddushin by yibum, that you ask her to marry you, so to say, and that you do this action of maimer that is equivalent to a certain extent to the first stage of marriage known as kiddushin or erusin. And then the chuppah represents the consummation of the marriage, and that's what the yibum does. Maimer alone doesn't fulfill the obligation of yibum or chalitza, but it's the first step that we do, practically speaking, in doing yibum. So from the fact that we have these psukim telling us that under certain situations we don't silence the woman if it's a bad shidduch, either because of the age difference, let's say the brother is 50, 60 years old and the Kala Nebuch who lost her husband is 20 years old, there's a big difference, so then we would say again, don't do yibum in that situation. If she finds him repulsive, if she finds him to be physically not for her, so then we listen to her and we say ein chos min osa. We'll learn the din of when we do and when we don't do this a little bit later in the Masechta. In any event, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you see another example of smuchin over here. Rabbi Yosef tells us, Afilu mandalo dorish, smuchin b'yalma, b'mishne Torah dorish. Even according to Mandiyomar, I mentioned this yesterday, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that we don't hold smuchin in Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. In those Svarim, we don't have this concept of smuchin, but in Devarim, he holds that we do have smuchin, and everybody holds that there is this concept of smuchin in Devarim. Whereas the Chacham say, not only in Devarim, they also say it's in the other four Sifrei Chumash, but Rav Yehuda disagrees. So Rav Yosef tells us, even Rav Yehuda, who doesn't hold from Smuchin in the first four Sifrei Chumash, he does, but Mishnah Torah is the word we use for Devarim, Sefer Devarim, he holds Smuchin there. Dohar Rav Yehuda, B'yamalo Darish, Ubi Mishnah Torah Darish. And the rest of the Chumash, the other four of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Pereshi Shemos Vayikra and Bamidbar, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow Smuchim to be darshan, even though he doesn't allow it in those, he does allow it in Sefer Devarim, in Mishnah Torah, which everybody agrees we darshan Smuchim over there. Where does Rabbi Yehuda get the idea that in the first four Sifrei Chumash we don't darshan Smuchim? So he says it's the time, he's one of the following brisa. Ben Azi Omer, Ben Azi tells us, Ne'amar mechashefel lo sechaya, and then Ne'amar koshoche v'meim lo shimos. In Parshas Mishpatim we have next to each other the psukim where it says mechashefa, a woman who is a sorceress, she's involved in this black magic. The Mefarshim explained it's not only a woman, the same thing would apply to a man. Mechashet, the same thing applies. However, it was more common for women to be mechashrim, and therefore that's why it uses the feminine lashon of mechashefa, lo sechaya, but the same thing applies to a mechashef, a man as well. So that pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to keep such a person alive. They're over in Issa Daraisa, for which the chayav misa. And then it tells us, if somebody commits the acts of bestiality, they have relations with an animal, Rahman al-Litzlan, so then they're also Chayiv Misa. So these two psukim are next to each other. Samchu inyun lo, so we connect these two in the following way. To teach us the punishment is the same for both of them. Masho chevim behema biskila, afna chashefa biskila. Just like the Arba Mises basin that you get, Rahman al-Islam, for committing the act of bestiality is skila, so too, if a woman or man is a mechashefa or mechashef, so then they're also, if with edim, hasra, etc., so then they're chayv skila as well. And that's based upon the juxtaposition of these psukim. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim. Now this is in Parshas Mishpatim. This is in Sefer Shemos. So Amar Elohi Rav Yehuda goes and tells Ben Azai, that's incorrect. Just because v'chim ibnei shesamuchu inyan lo notes he's ela skila, just because the psukim happen to be next to each other, so we give somebody skila because it's next to the psukim about shochev behema that has an inyan of skila. No, that's not the reason. But he agrees that you do give skila. Ella, he says, we learn out the din of Ov and Yidoni. Ov and Yidoni are various type of necromancy, of black magic also, that are involved, various types of kishuf. So why aren't they included in Mechashefa? So Ov and Yidoni, b'chal mechashmayu. The practitioners of Ov and Yidoni, certain types of necromancy involving certain bones or certain incantations. So this practice of Ov and Yidoni, so it was included in Mechashvim. So it should have been already taught us that Mechashefa lo sechayeh. So why do you have to have a separate pasuk to teach us the din of Ov and Yedoni? So therefore it must be V'lama Yatsu. Why do you need a separate pasuk to tell us L'hakish lehem, to go and teach us through a hekish V'lama L'cha, and to teach us the following din Ma Ov Yedoni B'skila. By Ov and Yedoni it specifically teaches us that the din is that they should have skila. And Rashi points out that we learned this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, because it says by Ov and Yedoni the words demehem bom, and it also uses the terminology demehem bom by a woman that has committed bestiality with behema, and through this hekish of demehem bom, so it teaches us that there's a chiv of skila. So too, Ov and Yedoni are teaching us that certain types of kishav have a isser of skila, so too, af mechashefa, so too by the woman who's a sorceress, mechashefa, or a man who's mechashef, the din is by skila. So if Yehuda doesn't darshan smuchim, he has a separate drash over here of a hekish of a gzei reshava from demeyim bum, and therefore that is the source for Rabbi Yehuda. Sefer Shmos, Parshas Mishpatim, doesn't have darshaning of smuchim. Here's where we see that Ben Azai, representing the sheet of the Chachamim, holds smuchim in the first four Sifrei Torah, but Rabbi Yehuda does not. So the verse says, "Ubimishna Torah minol and darish." So why does he change his opinion, so to say? Why does Rehuda, in fact, darshan smuchim in Mishnah Torah? So we'll give two reasons for this. But first, we learn from the following Mishnah later in our Masechta that not. It says over there, "Nos liyadam anusas aviv umfutas aviv." According to the Tanakhama, a man is allowed to go and marry a woman that his father either was ma'anes, he had raped her, or he had seduced her, umfutas aviv, but he didn't marry her. So the father had relations with this woman. The son is nevertheless still allowed to marry such a woman, the regular Kiddushin. Anusas, we know, likewise, if a father had a son, and Nebuch the son either raped a woman, Anusas Beno, or Mefutas Beno, or he seduced a woman, but he didn't marry her. So the father is also still allowed to go and marry that woman that his son had either raped or seduced. So if his father raped or seduced somebody, the son can still marry her. Or if the son had raped or seduced somebody, the father can still marry her. So Rav Yehuda Oser, Rabbi Anusas Aviv, Mefutas Aviv. So the opinion of Rav Yehuda, however, disagrees. And he says that no, if your father, in fact, had raped or seduced a woman, then the son is not allowed to go and marry that woman. Where does he learn it out from? Yomar Gidol Amarav. Gidol Amarav tells us, my time with the Yehuda, his reasoning is, Dirsib, because the psukim are samuch to each other. There's smuchin of it. Dirsib. One pasuk says, Lo yikach yishas eishas oviv. Lo yigalik knaf oviv. So the pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to go and take a woman that your father had married. It's not your mother, but you're not allowed to go and marry a woman that your father had married. And then it says, "Lo yigala knaf aviv." It also tells us you're not allowed to go and be magala to reveal knaf aviv, somebody that come under the garment of your father. In other words, somebody that your father had relations with. So knaf shiro aviv lo yigala. So this comes according to Rav Yehuda to teach us that you're not allowed to have relations even with anusas aviv or mafutas aviv, not only aishas aviv. Now, how does this teach us anything? How do we know that the situation of lo yigala knaf aviv is talking about an anusa or a mafuta? So me'ilave dekra, that's because of smuchin from the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk had said, "Dasib v'nosano ish hashochei bimo lavi hanara hamishim kosef." In the situation, in the previous pasuk, where it deals with a man who had been mafata a woman, so the man has to marry that woman, assuming she's willing to do so, and they have to pay the father of the girl the 50 shkolim. Now, usamichle, right next to that, it tells us, lo yikach ish, this pasuk, lo yikach ish eishes aviv, lo yigalek knaf aviv. So, if the previous pasuk was talking about a woman who was mefuta, so then the smuchim tells us that the next pasuk, lo yigalek knaf aviv, is also talking about an anusa or mefuta, and therefore you clearly see the Rabbi Yehuda holds the concept of smuchim in Sefer Devarim, based upon this series of psukim. Now, the Tanakhama certainly didn't hold like that. The Tanakhama had said, no siyadam anusas aviv mefutas aviv. The Tanakhama disagreed with this concept of smuchim. How come? The Rabbanim, the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, why did they disagree with Rav Yehuda? Because they say, if it had been a real, direct, one pasuk following the other, then we hold smuchim as well. However, here, hashta, the low samichlei, the two psukim are not directly one after the other. The Maharshal deletes this, but we'll read it anyway. Because the pasuk says, "Lo yikach ishes eishes aviv bein tayin." You have extra words in between, and it doesn't go straight from the pasuk "V'nasan ishes shochiv imolavi anaru achamishim kosef" to then go and tell us "Lo yigala kanaf aviv." You have extra words in between, so that's not a pure smuchin according to the Chachamim, the Tanakhama. And therefore, the Shomeris Yavam HaKosim Medaber, therefore, they use this not to teach this women smuchin, but they say that it refers to a woman that falls to your father in Yibam, so such a woman you would not be allowed to go and marry. And not only would they be the Isser of you not being allowed to go marry your uncle's wife, which that's how she fell to your father in Yibam, because your uncle had passed away, so it was your uncle's wife. There's a separate Isser for that. In addition, the Lav or Lav B'Shnei Lavim to teach us over here that there also is a Lav in addition of not marrying your father's zukuka liyavim, the woman that is zukuka is supposed to go and have yibam with your father. Now, by the way, you're never allowed to go marry any woman who's zukuka liyavim. Any woman that's not yet muteris l'shuk, she's waiting to have yibam mechalitza done to her, so you're not allowed to marry her as well. So that's a separate issue. Here we're talking about these two primary issurim of the issur of your uncle's wife as well as your father's yavama, the woman who's waiting to have yibam done by your father, so you're not allowed to go and marry such a woman. So fine, we have this explanation of Rabbi Yehuda only learning out Darshining Smuchim in the Sefer of Mishneh Torah in Sefer Dvarim. So Moshe says, why? Mishneh Torah, my time of the Darish. Bottom line is, we see that that's what the halacha is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, only in Sefer Mishneh Torah, in Dvarim, but why? So the Gemara says two possibilities. It's either because Sefer Mishneh Torah, as the name sounds, is Mishneh Torah. It's a repetition of the Torah. There are many, many halachos that were discussed in the first four Svarim of Chumash that are repeated in Sefer Dvarim, in Mishneh Torah, repetition of the Torah. So therefore, the fact that this was placed there is either going to teach us Mishum Demuchach, it's because it's a proof, because it was placed over there, that it's supposed to be darshing us something such as Smuchim, or because Mishum Demufne, it's unnecessary, and therefore the fact that it wasn't needed to be written, and yet it's written down, that's come to teach us that Smuchim can be darshan. But these reasons only apply in Sefer Devarim, in Mishneh Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and don't apply through the rest of the Chumash. So, for example, in our case, it's obvious, it's clear, it's a proof that it was placed there to bedavka teach us this din, because the im kein, if in fact that was not the case by the pasuk lo yigale knaf aviv, so then lechtev rachmona gabay arayis, so then this should have been written in achrimos. Why is it written over here? This din was not written in achrimos; it was only written over here. Oh, from the facts it was bedavka written over here, it's to come to teach us the darshin smuchim. So that's the reason ibay sem mishum demuchach. Alternatively, it's totally unnecessary to have been written over here. Why is that? Because the im kein, if it wanted to, lichtol rachmana, the Torah could have written it, lo yikach ish es eishes aviv. Why does it have to tell us? Lo yikach l'knaf aviv lomali. It could have just said, don't marry your father's wife, even though it's not your mother. You're not allowed to go marry her. Why does it have to tell me, bedavka, lo yikach l'knaf aviv? We would have already known that you're not allowed to go and marry your uncle's wife, because of the issue, number one, of being your uncle's wife, and number two, because she's zikuka liyavim, she's waiting ibam. So why would I need another pasuk to tell me lo yikachish es eishes aviv, lo yigale knaf aviv? I already know lo yikachish es eishes aviv, so lo yigale knaf aviv is totally extra, it's mufni. And we turn to Dalet Amud Beis, and therefore, as a result, Shema Minah Leafnuye, since it's extra, it's coming to teach us this din of Smuchim. So that's how we know the Yehuda Darshan Smuchim, specifically in Mishneh Torah. And likewise, Begabi Tzitzis Nami, the same understanding could be by Tzitzis. We have the Pasuk, Lo Silba Shatnez, and then right afterwards, Gilm Tasaloch. So the same reasoning could be over there to show you that we Darshan Smuchim only in Mishneh Torah. Begabi Tzitzis Nami, Iboyseim Mishum Demuchach, Iboyseim Mishum Demufne. Again, both of these reasonings, it was proof positive that it was put over there, or that it was totally unnecessary, and the fact that it's put there teaches us Smuchim. Again, if you want to say it's proof positive that it was put over there because the im kein, otherwise, if you wanted to put Gedil and Tasaloch, so then that's written in Sefer Bamidbar. Go put this pasuk by Parshat Tzitzis. Lichtach Ramona Gabi Parshat Tzitzis. Why was it bedavka put in Sefer Devarim? Oh, that's because it's mukach, it's evident, it's proof positive that this is teaching us this din of smuchim. Alternatively, the second reason, it's totally unnecessary. Let's take a look. Kosav, the pasuk tells us, ubeget kilayim shatnez lo yale alecha. We have the previous pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to go wear shatnez. You're not allowed to wear woolen linen together. Lo silba shatnez lomali. So why do I need another repetition of lo silba shatnez? Oh, mustn't it be? Because it's totally unnecessary that the purpose is to teach us smuchim shma mino liyafnuye. Oh, so these are the two reasons over here again. Mishum demuchach or mishum the Mufne, teaching us this din of tzitzis, can push aside the din of shatness. Now the Gemara says, wait a second. Hani mitzvah tzricha. How can you tell me that it's unnecessary to have told us lo silba shatness? There is a din that we learn out from that. It's not unnecessary. You have to write it again. Because if you only had the first pasuk, the kasa rachmana, you only wrote the first pasuk, ubegid kilayim shatness, lo yale alecha. If you only had lo yale alecha, havimini, you know what I would have said? Putting it on in any way, shape, or form, that is the Isser. And that would apply even Vafilu Mochrik Sus, the garment sellers, people that go and sell clothing, so people have to try on the jacket to see if it fits. So you would think that you're not allowed to go and put the jacket on, even to try it on. That's why Ksir Rahmana, Kosir Rahmana, Lo Silba Shatnez, it says you should not wear shatnez. That comes to teach us that to just try something on, when you're not really wearing it, you're just seeing if it fits you, that is allowed, even though it's shatnez. So, Kosir Rahmana, Lo Silba Shatnez, it teaches this din of Levisha, Dumyo de Levisha, only when you're wearing it like wearing a clothing, is there an isser over here of shatness? Why? There is behana, because you're getting some benefit out of it. When you're trying on clothing, you're not getting any benefit out of it. So therefore, in that situation, technically, there is no isser of shatness, just to try something on. I said, then just write Lo Silbash and don't write Lo Yale Alecha, because Rechmona Lo Silbash, we only wrote the pasuk, don't wear Kilayim. You know what I would have said then? Avamina, Davko Levisha. I would have said only a Levisha, the Nofish Haniyotza, that provides a significant amount of Hanoa. Oh, that's the only time you're not allowed to wear Shatnes. Aval Halah, but just to put something on you for a short period of time, Lo, I might have said that that's permissible. If you don't get a lot of Hanoa from it, I might have said that's not Levisha, and therefore it should be permissible. That's why the Torah has to tell me, no, kasa rachmona lo yala alecha, that you're not allowed to have any benefit from shatness at all. Trying it on, that's not called getting benefit from it. But to wear it for a short period of time, or to wrap yourself around it, and it's not really being put on you, but just to put it on you in some way, to get some benefit from it, so I might have thought that that would be allowed. That's why it needs to tell me, lo yala alecha, you need both lo yala alecha and lo silba shatness to teach me both of the parameters of the din of shatness. So therefore, it's not mufna. So how can you tell me that it's mufna? So Gemara says, no. Im kain, if you wanted to tell me that you need both psukim, so lichto rachmona, then just write lo silba shatness. Why did you have to add on tzemer ufishtim yachtov? Tzemer ufishtim lomeli. Why did you have to add on that second part, tzemer ufishtim? Why? Why is that extra? Michtei. Because, kosav, we already learned, ubeged kilayim shatnez lo yale olecha. Because the first pasuk said that don't wear beged kilayim shatnez lo yale olecha. So that already taught me, beged kilayim shatnez you're not allowed to wear. So why do you need it again to tell me, lo silba shatnez tzemer ufishtim? The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, they learned the Nes Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, hoel v'nemru batorah stam begodim. Whenever the Torah refers to begodim, without any specific explanation of what the begodim are, and then uporet lecha kosav biyechem yem tzemer pishtim, but then it specifically goes and tells you that the begodim are tzemer and pishtim. So then we learn out af kol tzemer upishtim. So in all cases, the Torah refers to over here tzemer upishtim. In other words, this is a binyanav. So since it said over here begodim, and then it said tzemer upishtim, that comes to teach us whenever it says begodim, it means tzemer upishtim. So therefore, why did it now tell me again? Lo silba shatnez, it didn't have to tell me tzemer upishtim yachto, because I know when it says levisha, that's a garment, it must mean tzemer upishtim. So why did it say tzemer upishtim again? Tzemer upishtim, because of Rabbanu Lomeli. Ah, that's the mufnesh. Mami no leafnuye, and that's why we learn out darshan smuchim over here, because it is mufneh. We're still not happy. Vakati etzrich. The one says, no, you still need to tell me tzemer upishtim over here in this pasuk. Why is that? Because if you didn't write it, so could I take, I mean, I might have said, halahi, in regards to just putting it on you, so then it specifically is only tzemer ufishtim. Because the pasuk tells me, ubeged kilayim shatnez lo yalech alecha. Only in halah, in just putting it up on you, that's when it refers to beged kilayim, which is tzemer ufishtim. Because in that situation, it only applies to tzemer upishtim, because the lo nafish hanah, that is such a strict din by tzemer upishtim that even if you're only getting a minimal amount of hanah, you're not allowed to do this. However, levisha, avo levisha, the nafish haniyasa, which you're getting a tremendous amount of hanah from, so then maybe it doesn't apply only to tzemer upishtim. Kol trei mine osa rachmona. I would have thought on my own that the din of lo silba shatnez would apply to any two types of materials, not only wool and linen together, but I might have said, oh, levisha, which is such a great hanah, called trei mine osa rachmona, any two types of material you're not allowed to mix together, and it's not only tzemer upishtim, that's why it had to tell me, lo silba shatnez tzemer upishtim yachdov, kasa rachmona tzemer upishtim, that's why it had to tell it to us again. So therefore, it's not unnecessary, but the Gemara says, yes, it is, in Cain. If the Torah really was telling us that reason, all it had to do was be silent. Lishtok kra minei, don't say anything. And then I could have learned out, v'teisi shatnez shatnez mehalah. And if you don't mention it by the second one, I would have said, obviously it's talking about tzemer upishtim because of the word shatnez. It said, begi kilayim shatnez lo yalecha, and then it says, lo silba shatnez. I would have learned out that it means tzemer upishtim just by saying shatnez shatnez. The fact that it tells me tzemer upishtim, that's mufne, it's unnecessary, and that's why Rav Yehuda can darshan this as smuchin. Gemara continues and says, "Tano de Rabbi Shmuel, you learn the basement of Rabbi Shmuel. Taima de kosa rachmona tzemer upishtim. Reason why the Torah tells us that tzemer upishtim is allowed to be worn, even though it's going to be over the din of lo silba shatnez, but by tzitzis gedilim tazalot, the smuchim of the two psukim comes to teach us that you're allowed to do this. So it's only because of the smuchim. That's what they learned in the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel. Halachah, if it wasn't for the fact that there was smuchim, kilayim b'tzitzis havamina d'yosu rachmana. I would have said that you wouldn't be allowed to go and wear kilayim with regards to wool and linen tzitzis. Vaksiv. Aye, but the pasuk says v'yosulam tzitzis hakafi bideim. But it says that you have to put tzitzis on the corners of your garment. The Torah, the Rishmol, they learn the same base manager of Rishmol. Kol begodim tzemer upishnim. Stam begodim always means tzemer upishnim. The Yomar Achmona, and nevertheless the Torah says that you have to put on tcheles, avid le tcheles, utcheles amru, and tcheles by definition is wool. So even though you have a garment that's made out of linen, you have to go and put threads of wool in it. That's shatness. So why are you telling me it's only because of smuchim? That's the base din that the pasuk tells me. And how do you know we made the tcheles amru? And how do you know the tcheles definitely means wool? Maybe you should dye your linen with the color tcheles. So the Gemara says midesheish kitna, because sheish is linen, and tcheles is amra. So therefore, they're two separate things. Kitna is linen, and tcheles, by definition, is placed into a wool garment. By the Big Day Kahuna, it says tcheles v'argamon tolas shani v'sheish. So the sheish is a reference to linen, and the other woolen garments, they're dyed with the various types of different dyes, the argamon and the tola shani, and of course the tcheles. So therefore, we see that tcheles is a reference to wool that is dyed with the color tcheles. Bottom line is, for the base medrash of Yishmol, so you don't need over here the smuchim of the psukim, because it's obvious that tzitzis, by definition, which has to have wool tcheles, have to be placed in a linen garment, so therefore, obviously, the prohibition of shatnis is pushed aside to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. So why do I need smuchim to teach me this? Someone says, no, we do need it. It's true. Even according to Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, you need it. Why is that? Because on my own, I would have said, so kedai dechamino kederava. I would have said maybe like Rava. What did Rava say? The Rava Rami. Rava had noticed a steer in the psukim. Rava said, diksiv hakonot. It says you have to go put the tzitzis on the kanof. Asulam tzitzis al kafevi, the hamlet, the rasavat, the tzitzis hakonof, pisil techeles. So you have to have on the kanof, on the corner of the garment, you have to place the tzitzis. And that implies min kanof, that the tzitzis that you place on the corner of the garment have to be the same species, the same material as the corner of the garment. But it says, uksiv, tzemer ufishtim. But elsewhere it tells us that you need to have both wool and linen. So how could that possibly be? Hel ketzad, tzemer ufishtim poltrin, bein b'minon, bein shelo b'minon. What you're dealing over here is the tzemer and the pishtim, so they can go and fulfill the obligation to put on tzitzis, whether you're dealing over here with a garment that is either tzemer, or if it's pishtim, or if it's any other type of material, so then you can put on tzemer or pishtim tzitzis on all corners of that garment. However, something else, shar minin, a different type of material other than wool or linen, so then while wool or linen would be good for that species, you could also be yotzei with the mitzvah tzitzis with that species. But that species would not be good for any other material. Only wool and linen tzitzis are good for any type of garment, whether it's tzemer or fishtim, or whether it is a different material. Whereas a different material is only good to be motzi its own type of material, so the same type of material could be used as a tzitzis, it could be used for the kanaf, but it can't be used for wool or linen. And that's what the Gemara tells us over here. Sharmin and b'minon potrin, their own type, they would be poter, shalob b'minon ain potrin. But to put them on a different material, whether it's tzemer or pishtim or any other type of material, they would not be able to be yotzei. So therefore, we need this to teach us what Rava said. If we didn't have this drasha, so then I would have said that if you had a linen garment, so then you must specifically use the tzitzis made out of linen. You wouldn't be able to use wool. I tcheles. So I would have said that that only applies if you have a woolen garment, but you wouldn't need to put on tcheles if you had a linen garment. However, the Gemara says there's only one problem over here. The Tana de Rishmol don't hold from this din of Rava. V'ho, Tana de Rishmol, leislei de Rava. They don't hold from this drasha that Rava just had, this seeming contradiction between the psukim that Rava resolved by teaching us this din, that wool and linen, tzitzis, can be used for any garment, whereas tzitzis that are made out of a different material can only be used to be motse, a garment made out of that very material. But the Tana de Rishmol doesn't hold from this drasha of Rava. So we're back to our original question. According to the Tana de Rishmol, why do we need the smuchin here? So it says, no, even according to Tanya Rishmo, you need it. It's terech. Because on my own, I would have said, so, ki diyuko de Rava. I would have said that from the diyuk of Rava, which is ha-kanop, when it tells us the corner, it means min-kanop, that the tzitzis has to be the same material as the corner. And that's what I might have thought the Torah is telling me as follows. Avid le tzemer le tzemer. When you go and make tzitzis for a wool garment, so go make the tzitzis out of wool. And when you're making a linen garment, upishtim, so lepishtim, go and make linen tzitzis for the linen garment. And the chiyavidas tzemer le tzemer, and when you're making the woolen tzitzis for the woolen garment, tzave, so that's when you go and make tchelis. That's what it has to be, the blue color. However, avol tzemer lepishtim, if you're making woolen tzitzis for a linen garment, or you're making linen tzitzis upishtim litzemer for a tzemer garment, for a wool garment, lo, then you don't have to go and color tchelis. You're not obligated to put on tchelis. In fact, the tchelis can only be on wool. So therefore, by definition, the linen tzitzis that you put on a wool garment would not have required tchelis at all. So therefore, that's what I would have thought. Because of Rachmana, the pasuk comes to tell me tzemer ufishtim, it has to write it again. It's totally unnecessary. It writes tzemer ufishtim again to tell me that no, in fact, the mitzvah asay of putting on tchelis goes and overrides what would otherwise have been a prohibition of shatness. And therefore, I learn out tafilu tzemer ufishtim, even woolen tzitzis are allowed to be put on a linen garment, and ufishtim, and you can even put on linen tzitzis litzemer, albeit it wouldn't have tchelis on it, but you would be allowed to go put on linen tzitzis on a woolen garment. That's what the chiddush is over here, according to the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Now, lemaisa, we do not normally allow you to go put on linen tzitzis onto a woolen garment, because you can almost always put on woolen tzitzis on a woolen garment, and therefore, you shouldn't go put linen tzitzis on a woolen garment. And lemaisa, since you wouldn't be fulfilling the mitzvah of tcheles, so that's why you always put woolen tzitzis on a woolen garment, because if there is tcheles, again, some hold there is tcheles today, others hold that there's no tcheles today, we lost that mesorah, but in any event, since theoretically the tcheles can only be on woolen tzitzis, so therefore you should put on woolen tzitzis on a woolen garment. And it's only the other way around, when you're pulling woolen tzitzis on a linen garment, so then you don't have a choice. That's when you can override the prohibition of shatness. But to put linen tzitzis on a woolen garment, we normally don't do that. What did the Gemara say you can? So that's again, Yefshir, in a situation where you had no choice. You have no woolen tzitzis, so then, rather than walking around with a four-cornered woolen garment that doesn't have tzitzis on it, so then you could put on linen tzitzis. That's a bid-the-ever type of an approach. And we turn to Hey Amud Aleph, and we'll conclude the Shia today, that's saying, Tainach Litana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. So we've worked out the Gemara now very well according to the understanding of the base medrash Rabbi Shmuel. However, L'Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon, who don't understand this in the same way that the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel understood it, they don't learn it out from Smuchin of the Tzitzis and Shatnis Psukim together. So where do they learn it out? L'Rabbanon Minolu. Where do they learn out this idea that an asay is docha a lo sasay? Remember, when we started off this whole discussion, it was to teach us where do we know that an asay is docha lo sasay. So if you learn the way we just learned it, so that's the answer. But if you don't learn it this way, for those that don't hold like the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, so where did they learn out this din that an asay is docha a lo sasay? Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up over here tomorrow. With that, we conclude today's shiur.